Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church. We are continuing our study of the Psalms of Ascent, today with Psalm 122, Worshiping God. Let me begin with a call to worship, taken from Psalm 122, as well as Psalm 96, verse 1 and 4. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Let us sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise." Amen. So today we are looking at Psalm 122, the third psalm in the 15 songs of ascent, from Psalm 120 to 134. And these are thought to have been sung by those on their way to Jerusalem to celebrate one of the three major yearly festivals. As we have seen, Psalm 120 commences our journey to God. This journey begins with a frustration over life as we have attempted to craft it without God. It begins with repentance, which means to turn away from that which is wrong and walk towards God. Psalm 121 is a psalm of trust. When life does not go as expected, a disciple is faced with the temptation to look for quick fixes instead of trusting in the Lord. Psalm 121 reminds us the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, watches over us, walks with us, and will not let evil separate us from him. Now, Psalm 122 brings us to Jerusalem. We've been traveling on the way to Jerusalem. Now, Psalm 122 brings us to Jerusalem. The rabbis referred to Jerusalem as the navel of the universe. And it is amazing that after so many years, this ancient city still plays such a key role in modern life. It is sacred to the Jews, Christians, and Muslims. Jerusalem is still the destination of pilgrims from around the world, as it was the destination of Israelites in ancient days. Psalm 122 begins with the words, "I rejoiced with those who said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" They have gone to Jerusalem, but their focus is on the Lord. He is the focus of their journey. Psalm 122 is a psalm of worship. Now, as diverse as the church is around the world, one thing you will always find in common is worship. The people of God enjoy gathering together to worship their God, not because they have to, but because they want to. The word worship comes from an old English word, worthship. Worthship, meaning that God is worthy and he deserves our praise. Worship describes our response to God who has revealed himself to us. When we really believe God is worthy and deserves our worship, nothing will stop us. It's simply a matter of priorities. Worship can take many forms. Lately, worship has come to be defined as singing. Singing is one way we can express our worship, but certainly it is not the only way, which is good news for non-singers. We can express God's worship through our giving, our prayer, our reflection, our sharing, the reading and expounding of God's word, and many other things. In essence, we worship as we give adoration, humility, submission, and obedience to God. Jerusalem, for a Hebrew, was the main place to worship. In Jerusalem during the feasts, the great works of God were remembered and celebrated. Those were that God created you, God redeemed you, and God provides for you. It was also to Jerusalem that you went to offer sacrifice for your sins. a reminder of God's grace and forgiveness. Jerusalem drew the 12 diverse tribes that didn't always get along, but Jerusalem drew these 12 tribes together into one people to worship their God. In worship, the same thing happens for us. We come from many different backgrounds and experiences, and yet we leave those differences behind, and we come for the common purpose of worshiping our God together. Isn't it amazing to consider that right now around the world there are people from all nations and people groups gathering to worship God together? We have that in common, and one day we will be together in His presence in glory, doing that, worshiping Him. Amazing, amazing. Thank you, Lord. For the Christian, worshiping God helps give our life the balance it needs. We remember it's not all about me. I remember God's grace and mercy, past, present, and future. The theologian Karl Barth described worship as the most urgent, the most glorious action that can take place in human life. Let's read Psalm 122 right now. I'll read it from the New International Version. It's a song of ascents of David. I rejoiced with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. There stand the thrones for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May they be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. Amen. The pilgrims were going to Jerusalem, for there they knew they would find, first of all, a place of safety. Verse 3 says, Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That's the NIV. The New Living Translation, verse 3 says, Jerusalem is a well-built city. Its seamless walls cannot be breached. Jerusalem, as the capital, was the country's principal fortress. Now, Jerusalem had strong walls. However, the people recognized its true security came not from its fortifications, but from the Lord. The presence of the Lord in the sense of the temple there, that the Lord had chosen to dwell on earth there in Jerusalem, and that gave them security. How about now, for us, that the temple is gone? Where can one look for the peace and safety of the Lord's presence? Jesus gave us the answer to that question in his discussion with the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. Let me read John chapter 4, verses 19 to 24. "Sir," the woman replied, "I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus told her, "Believe me, woman, an hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, because salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Yes, the Father wants such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Amen. The word of the Lord. God has made it possible for us to approach Him directly, no matter where we are. We can have a personal relationship with God the Father through His Son, Jesus, a heart-to-heart, spirit-to-spirit relationship. How? Humble yourself and admit you need God's help. Ask Him to forgive your sins and receive Jesus as your sin forgiver. Surrender your will to Him as your life leader, and the Holy Spirit of God will come to dwell within you. Then you can experience the peace and security symbolized by Jerusalem through the presence of the Spirit of God within you. That's the amazing thing for us as Christians now. The Spirit of God dwells within us. As I come before the Lord in acts of worship, I claim His peace because I know that even in life's uncertainties, He is still in control. This pandemic did not surprise Him. I am safe in His care, no matter the circumstances. The Apostle Paul shared how this truth guarded him with God's peace in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. As we come to God in worship, recalling what He has done, is doing, and will do, we can be secure in His peace. Remind yourself, life is not about me, nor is this all that there is. The Lord is in control. Thank you, Lord. The pilgrims going to Jerusalem also knew they would find a place of praise. This is our second point, a place of praise. Verse 4 in the NIV says, that is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. The New Living Translation in verse 4 says, all the tribes of Israel, the Lord's people, make their pilgrimage there. They come to give thanks to the name of the Lord, as the law requires of Israel. The Lord had commanded that the Israelites meet together regularly through the festivals. The focus of these pilgrimages was to give thanks and praise to the Lord, not to ask for unity or prosperity. Yet these gifts, unity and prosperity, were given by God over and above the occasion. Pagan worship, on the other hand, is focused on doing what you think your God wants in the hope of you getting what you want. Now, what if you say, you know, I don't really feel like worshiping and I don't want to be a hypocrite, so I guess I shouldn't do it. Well, what does the psalm say? Israel came together because God and His law required them to gather to praise the Lord. Likewise, we are to choose to worship, not because we feel like it, but because we know we should. When we know something is the right thing to do, we do it, rather than wait until we feel like it. If not, many meals would go unprepared, much laundry undone, and many red lights run if we only did those things when we felt like it. Worshiping God is the right thing to do. As we begin to praise God for who He is and what He has done, we will then discover the feelings will follow, because praising God is right. It is the right thing to do. Finally, Jerusalem was seen, thirdly, as a place of justice. We see this in verse 5. Jerusalem is described as a place where the thrones for judgment stand, the thrones of the house of David. Jerusalem was not only the religious center of Israel, but also its political center, where the Davidic kings reigned. However, these kings were to rule as administrators of the Lord's justice. The Lord, the divine king, was the one the people ultimately looked to for justice. In this verse, we are reminded of God's promise to David that one of his sons would rule justly from his throne forever over all of creation. Eugene Peterson tells us, the biblical word judgment means the decisive word by which God straightens things out and puts things right. The thrones of judgment are a place where the word of action is announced. Judgment is not a word about things, it is a word which does things, putting love in motion, applying mercy, nullifying wrong, and ordering goodness. This word of God is everywhere in worship. From the call to worship to the benediction, we hear God's word to us in Scripture, in prayers, in those songs inspired by Scripture. Every time we worship, our minds are reminded of the acts of God, the words of God, what God has said and what God has done. Worship is the place where our attention is centered on these personal and decisive words of God. No wonder the psalmist begins with, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. This psalm is a beautiful reminder of what we receive as we draw near to the Lord in worship, whether that be in Jerusalem, in Esterhazy, or anywhere else. We receive safety, a reason to praise, and justice. As you conclude your specific activity of worship, leave remembering that you are to represent your Lord wherever you are. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 reminds us, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Amen. Worship Him with the offering of your life today. Thank you, Lord. Let me close with the benediction I've taken from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. The God of peace brought the great shepherd of our sheep, our Lord Jesus, back to life through the blood of an eternal promise. May this God of peace prepare you to do everything good He wants. May He work in us through Jesus Christ to do what is pleasing to Him. Glory belongs to Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you.